Here's Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and the big neon signs light up the dark office that overlooks Broadway on the corner of 53rd Street. Behind a second-hand mahogany desk, relaxing in a swivel chair, is the leading figure of the Diamond Detective Agency, combination stockholder, office boy, and clue chaser. He is Richard Diamond, and his mind is on a lovely redhead named Helen Asher as she sits on a couch talking about things he likes to hear. At this moment, however, another scene is taking place in the wealthy district of Long Island. A long black convertible is just pulling up to an old English mansion, and a curvaceous blonde steps from the car. She is met at the door by her brother.
Well, good evening, my dear sister. You're looking simply ravishing.
How would you know the difference?
Oh, drop dead.
You disgusting excuse for a man. Why don't you sober up for 5 minutes and take a look at yourself?
I did once. Oh, by the way, our dear stepfather would like to see you in the study.
Tell him to go to...
I already did. Now it's your turn.
I don't want to. I'll get out of my way, Chris.
Suit yourself. But Murray Lang's in there with him.
Murray?
Did I start your heart going pity-pat?
Oh, shut up.
You better go in and protect your money, darling. Bye, jailbird.
Sod.
I don't care what your plans are. They concern my daughter, and that's enough for me to put a stop to them.
You're not going
to
put a stop to anything.
You can't intimidate me, Lang. You're just a cheap, no-good gangster, and your methods are too well known to frighten me. Come in!
Oh, hello, Liz.
Hello, Murray.
I'm glad you're here, Elizabeth. Mr. Lang and I were just discussing your future.
I'm surprised you put up with it this long, Murray. Come on, let's leave my dear stepfather until he simmers down.
Elizabeth, I want to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to you. Let's go, Murray.
Listen to what he has to say. Maybe you'll get a laugh out of it.
Well, what is it?
I've just been talking with Lang about your intention to marry him. I have advised him that if such a thing were to take place, it would result in the most serious of consequences.
Is that all?
No, that is not all. When you got into your trouble with the police, my dear stepdaughter, you were paroled in my custody. If I should report to the board that you had violated the terms of your probation, you would most certainly go to prison.
Why, you... What's the matter? Aren't you satisfied with the salary you collect for taking care of Mother's estate?
How dare you, you little
snip! You look bigger behind a desk.
Well, just yell and scream all you want to. After Monday, you better start looking for another source of income.
You know very well it's not the money. But your greasy boyfriend here would certainly like to get his hands on it.
Look, you, I don't give a hang if you are a midget. I'm not going to stand here and listen to you.
Murray.
No, baby, I won't take it. I'll wring his scrawny little neck.
Go on, lad, go on. It would give me the greatest of pleasure to call the police and have you locked up.
I'll fix it so you won't have a head to call anyone with.
Murray, leave him alone. Can't you see that's what he wants?
Yes, well, Mr. Lang.
Come on, Liz, let's get some fresh air.
I want to say one more thing. Just remember, Father, my probation expires Monday. After that, you won't control any part of my income, so you better start getting packed.
And if I report you to the probation board in the morning?
I wouldn't. If you do that, you'll not only stop being my guardian, but you'll stop breathing.
Get out. Get out, both of you.
Come on, Murray.
Oh. Try to intimidate me. I'll make them both sorry. Detective. Detectives. Private detective. Yes, yes. Yes. Foreign. Ah, here's one. Full page ad. Must be doing very well. Richard Diamond, private detective. If you've got a case, share it with me. Richard Diamond. Circle 7. Mr. Diamond?
That's right.
I want to hire you for a few days.
Oh, you saw the ad. Well, it just so happens I'm available.
I can't tell you much over the phone, too many extensions in the house, but it's about my daughter. I'm afraid she's going to get herself into some serious trouble.
Well, how old is she?
20.
Tell her to wait a year.
My name is Chase, Ralph Chase. I live at 82 Maple Drive, Sands Point. Will you come out this evening?
$100 a day and dibs on the icebox.
I'll see you about 8. Goodbye, Mr. Diamond.
What was that all about, Rick?
Well, got a job, baby.
When do you start?
Oh, yes, you're right.
No, Rick. You can start it in the morning. You can't break another one tonight.
Now, come on, Helen, baby. A job's a job.
And a date's a date. I won't let you break this one.
Your car downstairs?
Yes, but I can drive myself home, please, Rick. You promised you wouldn't break another one.
Keys in it?
Yeah, look. I want to hire you to protect me for this evening. I've been receiving mysterious phone calls, and I'm in fear of my life.
Really?
You've got to take the job. Old friends come first.
I'll have to get home and shave before I start working.
You mean you'll take it?
After 12:30. Bye, baby.
You beast.
Oh, you must be getting tired from driving that big car around all day. Grab a cab, honey. It'll give you some rest. I'll take good care of your car.
What?
Want a buck for the cab?
Huh?
No, no. On second thought, you only live about 25 blocks. Walk will do you good.
Rick.
Deep breathing all the way up Fifth Avenue. Nothing like it. Bye, baby.
Oh!
On the way to the car, I thought about Helen. The most wonderful girl in the world. Money, looks. But she had one bad fault. She wanted to get married. I got into the big sedan and headed for my apartment. I'd been up late the night before with a blonde singer, and I was feeling tired. Funny how things change. My nights in college were just as busy, but at 1 o'clock the next afternoon, I was out playing football. I face facts pretty well, so when I got home, I took a nap. I slept until 7 and got up and dressed. I drove Helen's car out to Long Island, and at 8 o'clock sharp, I was ringing the doorbell of the Chase Mansion. It was a big house, all right. If they built another one like it, Long Island would sink.
Well, to someone at me chamber door. My name's Chris. Boo.
Blow your booze some other direction. Your breath would wither a lung.
My alcoholic exhalations are composed of the finest ingredients. You must have a weak stomach.
Look, if you'll just stagger out of the way, I'd like to see Mr. Chase.
Dead or alive?
What?
Nothing. I was just thinking out loud. Well, go right ahead. And after your talk with my stepfather, you can find me in the bar. You'll probably wind up like I am.
That's a sweet thought. Where can I find your stepfather?
Probably in the library, lying in my money.
I left him leaning against the front door, gagging on the fresh air. I wandered down a long hallway and a big sitting room, furnished with enough antiques to make the Metropolitan Museum give up in shame. There was something about the place. A heavy quietness, like a bar of gold in a dark room. The shot had come from up ahead, and I tried a couple of doors before I found the room.
Mr. Chase! Mr. Chase!
In here! In here!
Mr. Chase?
Yes, yes. Come in and shut the door.
I looked over at Ralph Chase crouching behind a desk. He got up slowly, all 5 feet of him. And I tagged him for a guy who would give $1,000 for every inch you could put on his legs. He looked like he could afford to be a mile high. The tall French windows were open at the back of the room, and you could still smell burning cordite.
Someone tried to shoot me from the garden.
Yeah, I heard the shot.
You must be Diamond.
That's right. Don't you think you better shut the French doors and pull the drapes before someone takes another shot?
Yes, yes, very good idea. You pull the dime, the shade, Diamond. Hey, you can start earning your money right now.
You're a little excited, but I'll start to work.
All right. Be careful, he might still be out there.
Well, I doubt it. I can't see anyone out here.
Oh, he just missed me. You can see where the bullet hit the wall. I jumped and hid behind the desk.
Didn't you hear him on the porch?
No, he must have stood in the soft grass that surrounds the garden.
That's a good 10 feet from the house. You're lucky he didn't move in closer. He probably wouldn't have missed. Got any idea who it was?
Of course, it was Murray Lang.
Murray Lang? The gambler?
Yes, do you know him?
Well, I used to be on the force. Set him up 6 years ago on a larceny rap.
Then you know what he's like. He was in the house this afternoon. We had an argument and he threatened me.
An argument with your daughter?
Yes, about my daughter. How'd you know?
Well, you told me she was getting herself into trouble. She couldn't have picked a better playmate than Lang to get there with.
Father, we heard a shot.
Not really.
Oh, let's go. He's not dead.
My stepchildren, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, well, lovely.
I'm quite alive, so you can both stop looking so unhappy.
Does it show?
Come on, sis. Let's find the guy who fired that shot. I want to give him a few pointers.
Where's Murray Lang, Miss Chase?
Yes, he's the man you want. I'm sure he
Don't be absurd. Murray left 3 hours ago. What are you, a cop?
Does it show?
You're wearing too much cologne. Come on, Chris.
Oh, she's nice.
That's Elizabeth. The boy's her brother, Chris.
I'd hate to draw straws.
I married their mother and raised those two brats after she died. The courts appointed me executor of this estate.
They don't like you handling their money, is that it?
Yes. Since they've been old enough to ask for 50 cents to go to a movie, they've condemned me for watching their interests.
You said you were worried about your stepdaughter. Tell me about it.
I'll make it brief. Hate long explanations. Elizabeth got into some trouble with the police. Hit and run. She had been drinking. The man died. Liz was sentenced to a year in Folsom. But I got her off on probation.
What do you want me to do? Drive around with her and spoil her aim?
Monday, the probation expires. She says she is then going to marry this hoodlum, Murray Lang.
And you don't want that because you think he's after her money?
Exactly. When she marries, the will reads that I shall, as executor, turn over half of the estate to Elizabeth.
What about Christopher?
He looked irresponsible when he was born. His mother left instructions that he should not receive his share until he is 35. That's another 8 years.
Well, your stepdaughter's old enough to know what she's doing. I can't see how you can stop her.
That's what I want you to do.
And if I do, you'd be in a pretty good spot.
What do you mean, Mr. Diamond?
You continue as executor.
I can understand you thinking something like that, but believe me, as much as I dislike my stepchildren, I wish to keep them in line for their late mother's sake.
Oh. Well, Mr. Chase, I'll take a look around outside. Maybe I can come up with something that'll point out the would-be killer. If it was Lang, you can stop worrying about Elizabeth. Sing Sing doesn't boast a wedding chapel. I went out through the French doors and started looking around on the soft grass that bordered the garden. I had a fat hunch, so I stopped looking and started wandering. I was halfway through the rose bed when I spotted them. It was Elizabeth and a man. In the darkness, I couldn't make him out, but Murray Lang was my best guess. They went up a narrow path to one of those Chinese pagodas at the far end of the garden. And I slipped up close enough to give my ears a workout. It was Lang, all right.
I don't care what you think. I didn't take a shot at the old man.
Then who did? He's got a policeman in there now, and he's going to start trouble.
Let him. I'm clean. If it was that lushed-up brother of yours.
Chris hates him, but he'd never try to kill him.
Well, then stop hounding me. Maybe you took a shot at the old boy.
Murray.
Well, you got a good reason. I'm tired trying to buck the whole Chase household. If you love me, let's take off tonight and get married. Tell the old man to go to the devil.
You can certainly wait till Monday.
Yeah, but he won't. He's going to cause some kind of trouble and get you tossed into Folsom. He's not going to give up all that money just because you're through with your probation. He probably cooked up that shooting just to get the cops here.
Murray, what's going to happen to us?
Oh, ask your stepfather. He's been doing your thinking for you.
I don't have to. We'll get married Monday.
Okay. I'm staying clear of this place till then.
But what if there's more trouble? I haven't got anyone to turn to.
You worry about it, baby. I got a police record that makes yours look like a merit badge.
I was too good a target in the moonlight, so I started back up the walk to the house. As I passed a hedge, I noticed a funny-looking plant that was shoving its way out of the foliage. I'm sorry I did that. It was the Johnny Jump-Up variety. Blackbird type. The guy on the other end of the sap gave it to me right over the eyes, and I went down like a crapshooter making a pass. I rolled over and watched the moon melt and run down in my eyes. Something warm and sticky spread over my face and turned the night red. Yeah, I was bleeding again. I guess I showed signs of recovering, so he started all over. This time, he used his foot in my side. Oh. Oh. Oh, a couple more kicks in the ribs and in the right place, and he could have whipped up a fast course of NOLA. I felt tired, so I rolled up in an old rose bush and went to sleep. When you finally start coming around, it's like swimming your way out of an acre of mud. If you've taken enough beatings before, you diagnose things in a hurry. The pain in your head is where you got sapped. The ache in your ribs is where he booted you. And the thought in your mind is, oh, it's something about an eye for an eye, if you've got one left. I sat up slowly and looked around. No one in sight. My watch said 10 o'clock. I'd been out for an hour, and I was feeling lonely until I started to get up. I made it to one knee and looked down at the best reason I could think of for staying home nights. It was Murray Lang, and you couldn't blame him for staring. He wasn't impolite, just dead. Something on the walk beside him gleamed in the moonlight. I took out my handkerchief and scooped it up. It was a little nickel-plated .32. You could still smell the fresh powder in the barrel. I put it in my pocket and stumbled back to the house. Chris opened the door.
Well... You shouldn't drink so much. I never get so loaded I look like that.
Well, try it sometime. It might be an improvement.
Boo.
I told you once before not to do that. Now tell me, where were you 10 minutes ago?
I was in the bar.
Who was with you?
Red and green midgets. Now let go of my collar.
Okay. Where's the phone?
In the hall. Hey, what's going on? Who beat you up?
Nobody. I always bleed like this on warm nights.
Huh?
Big pores.
Homicide Sergeant Otis talking.
Who taught you how? Did you sit up nights with a parrot?
Oh, very funny. Only one guy could think up a lousy joke like that. What do you want, Diamond?
A picture of you. I'm going to show some doctors that mercy killing has its points. Now, let me speak to the lieutenant.
Comic. Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
Hello, Walt. This is Diamond.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get the bicarbonate.
What's the matter?
I get stomach trouble every time you call. Go ahead.
All right. I got a killing for you.
I know it. Why can't you be a good boy and stop finding corpses?
I'm out at Sands Point, 82 Maple Drive. I think I've got the murder weapon in my pocket.
Who's dead?
An old friend, Murray Lang, and you better step on it. There's a drunk staggering around the place, and he's liable to spot the body and put it in a cold shower to sober it up.
Oh, all right. We'll be right out. Hold the fort.
So Mr. Lang's dead.
Hmm? You better stop sneaking up on people, Buster.
And you'd better stop telling me what to do in my own house, Mr. Diamond.
You sobered up pretty quick.
I heard what you said about finding the murder weapon. May I see it?
No. It stays in my pocket until homicide gets here.
Whose gun is it?
It's a 40-pound broadsword. Now stop trying to look like a Chicago muscle man or I'll start slapping you.
Oh, there you are, Diamond. I've been looking for you. Wait, Scott, what happened to your face?
Someone was giving away hints.
Chris, did you have something to do with this?
Hardly. Mr. Diamond has a decided advantage over me. He has muscles. I'll be in the bar.
What's happened? Where's Elizabeth?
I don't know, but her boyfriend's got troubles. He can't explain the hole in his chest.
Lang? What do you mean?
He's out in the garden. Someone shot him.
Is he dead?
Well, if he's not, he's trying awful hard.
Then we'd better call the police.
That's been taken care of. What kind of a gun do you own, Mr. Chase?
You don't see...
No, I don't. I just dig around till I come up with something. What kind of a gun do you own?
Why, a 45... Now, wait a minute, Diamond. If you've got any ideas about this murder, you'd better wait until the police get here.
Now, look, Chase, I've been insulted in your house, had the air let out of my ego by your beautiful stepdaughter, and beat up in your garden. That's a full night's work, and now I'm on my own time. Where can I find Elizabeth?
I don't know. She may be up in her room.
Oh, where is it?
End of the hall, head of the stairs, first door.
Thanks.
Beginning to rain. What about Lang's body?
Well, if he catches cold, call me. I went down the long hallway to the foot of a massive staircase. The only light was the one burning in the room I just left. I looked over my shoulder and saw Mr. Chase framed in its dim glow watching me. In that moment, I thought who Chase reminded me of. A triangle hat, his hand in his vest, and Napoleon had a twin. I went up the stairs two at a time.
Yes?
Pardon me for barging in, but some guy in the garden just beat all the bashfulness out of me.
How dare you? You get out of my room.
You better put on something a little warmer, honey. That thing would start a Harry Carey epidemic in Boston.
What do you want?
Yeah. What did you do after Lang left you in the garden?
What?
Big ears. I overheard everything you said.
I see someone pushed your face around. It's an improvement. Did Murray catch you eavesdropping?
Well, if he did, he won't have much time to gloat.
What do you mean? If you've done anything to Murray...
Aren't you getting ready for bed a little early?
I don't know what you want. I don't have to answer any of your ridiculous questions. Now, if you don't turn around and get out of here...
What's the matter, baby? The drawer empty? Lose something?
No.
Maybe this is it.
Where did you get that gun?
It was lying in the garden beside your boyfriend's body.
Beside it.
That's it, lover. Now sit down and relax.
Is Murray dead?
Like Jimmy Fiddler's gossip column. Didn't you hear anything after Murray left you?
Oh, no. I was crying. I ran back to the house and came up here.
Is there another way back to the house besides the path that Murray took?
It's one that leads to those outside doors. I came right to my room. Please leave me alone.
This is your gun, isn't it?
Yes, but I didn't do it. I didn't. Murray and I were going to be married Monday.
Ballistics will probably show it's the one that did the job. You better tell me everything you know.
I don't know anything. I didn't shoot Murray. Someone stole my gun from the drawer. Oh, please find out who did it. If they hold me, I'll go to prison anyway. Please, Mr. Diamond, please.
It's going to be tough if this is the gun. I'm pretty sure it is. You could still smell the powder when I... The powder.
What's the matter, Mr. Diamond?
Huh? Oh. Oh, nothing. Look, You stay in your room. Maybe I can do you some good. I promise you'll stay here.
Sure. I'm not going anyplace.
And try and snap out of it. Sometimes you keep losing until there's nothing left to play with. It breaks the jinx. I went downstairs and started looking for Chase. As I passed the doors leading to the garden, I stopped cold. A flash of lightning turned the garden flat white. Someone was standing over what was left of Murray Lang. Well, like the view?
Oh, Diamond. I was just looking at the body.
I talked with your daughter. She says the gun that killed Lang was hers.
What?
Claims they had an argument, but won't admit she shot him.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. Certainly she had no reason, unless...
Unless what?
Well, unless she found out Lang was just after her money.
Well, that's possible. Anyway, if she did do it, I still can't figure who worked me over.
Maybe it was Lang. You told me yourself he didn't like you.
Maybe it was Elizabeth.
Oh, no. It would have to be somebody very strong. She might have kicked you, but never could she have hit you hard enough to crack your head open like that.
Yeah. Tell me, when does Elizabeth come into her money?
Why, at the end of the probation. The court set it aside until she was cleared of all charges.
Who gets it if she goes to prison?
Well, I'm the sole executor of the estate, but she's not going to jail. She didn't do this thing. I'll get the best counsel in the country.
I'm sure you will. Tell me something, Chase. It's pretty obvious that my face got pushed around, but how did you know my ribs got the same treatment?
What?
It doesn't show. It just hurts.
Why, I... Well, you told me.
Uh-uh.
What are you getting at, Diamond?
You'd have to reach pretty high to sap me, but if you were mad enough, you could make it.
This is absurd. I'm going inside.
And when I get grouchy, it's better to listen. I'm liable to use you to make the flowers grow.
Go ahead, Mr. Diamond. I'm listening.
Well, everybody in this house has some sort of motive for killing. With Elizabeth, the... Could be the old story of a woman scorned. With your lushed-up stepson, he could want to put the blame on his sister so he'd get more than his share of the estate. And we certainly know you stand to profit if Elizabeth goes to prison, because you retain custody of the family fortune.
I'm getting wet, Mr. Diamond.
Everybody's story's weak, but only one of them doesn't stand up. You said earlier this evening someone tried to shoot you from outside your library.
Of course they did. You have the shot and saw the bullet hole.
That's right, I did. But you told me he was standing outside the room by a good 10 feet. Nothing to say, Chase?
You're trying to catch me up in something.
Oh, you are so right. Now, when I walked into that room, I could still smell burning cordite. To smell fresh gunpowder like that, the gun would have to have been fired outside the room. You staged it, so I'd think someone was trying to kill you.
Is that all, Mr. Diamond?
Outside of the slip you made about kicking me in the ribs. Now, let's go inside.
I don't think so, Diamond.
Oh. Oh, that the 45 you were telling me about?
Yes. Go ahead, make a try for it. I'm going to show you how it works.
You kill Lang with your stepdaughter's gun, and you're going to collect the money if she goes to prison. Oh, you're a sly.
My stepdaughter could easily kill two men tonight.
You're in a spot. You can't shoot me with that 45 and make it look like the same person killed Lang, too. So you've got to get the 32 in my pocket.
Give me Elizabeth's gun, Diamond.
You try and get it, Chase.
Why, you...
Rick, are you out there?
Better give it up, Chase. That's the law. He eats little men like you.
Rick!
Stay right there, Diamond. Another killing won't matter if you try and stop me.
For Pete's sake, if you're out there, Rick, answer me. I'm getting soaked.
Just keep your mouth closed, Diamond. I'm getting out of here.
You'll never make it, Chase. They'll pick you up inside of an hour.
Not if you're too dead to tell them. Yes, that's it. If I kill you, I'll eat at least heaven.
You should watch your step, Chase.
Keep your head down, Lieutenant. Somebody's mad.
Shut up, Otis, and get out from under that bench. Rick!
Over here, Walt.
What's going on, Rick? Who's doing all the shooting?
Well, he took turns. He was just going to kill me when he tripped over the body of his first victim. I used this .32 in my pocket, shot him twice.
He's dead, Lieutenant. Give me my baking soda, Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Don't look so unhappy, Rick. He was going to kill you.
Oh, I'm not unhappy. I'm just sore that I didn't have time to take the gun out of my pocket. I ruined a darn good coat. The three of us went back in the house, and Otis took Christopher up to bed so he could sleep it off. Walt listened to the story as I told it to Elizabeth. She cried a little and thanked me with her eyes. Walt went downstairs to clean things up, and I sat by her bed until she went asleep. She didn't even wake up when I kissed her goodbye. Oh, I guess it was better that way. I said goodbye to Walt and Otis and headed for 975 Park Avenue. I was late. My face could use a mile of bandage. I hoped Helen wouldn't mind.
Yes? Oh, my goodness.
Hello, Francis. Tell Miss Asher I brought a car back.
Oh, how bad a wreck was it, sir?
Give me a glass with a backbone, will you, Francis?
Yes, sir, right away, sir. Miss Asher's in the study.
Thank you. Hi.
Well, it's about... Oh, Rick, not again.
Mm-hmm.
Your poor little face.
Yeah, my poor little face.
Well, you just stretch out on the couch and I'll get you a nice tall drink.
Francis is already on his way.
Oh. Feel better?
Yeah, oh yes. Got a pillow?
I'll hold your head up. How's this?
Mm-hmm.
Like some music to go with it?
Sure. Turn on the radio.
You comfortable?
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Uh-huh. That music sounds like San Francisco. Remember the Top of the Mark?
Yeah, fun too.
Mind if I turn off the light? The glow from the fire is enough.
You're cute.
Better?
Much. The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Mm-hmm. Me.
I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles form. What do I care if icicles form? I've got my love to keep me warm.
I like your singing, too.
Off with my overcoat, off with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire, the flame grows higher, so I will weather the storm. Why do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
That was nice.
Hey, why did you turn the radio off?
This is nicer. Come here, Rick.
Oh, honey. Honey, you're reading my mind.
Here's your drink, Mr. Diamond. Oh, my goodness.
You have just heard the fourth of a new series, Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Betty Moran, Jay Novello, Jack Edwards, and Tal Avery. Music was under the direction of David Baskerville. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by William P. Rousseau. Even here in America, we're liable to have a few misconceptions about freedom. Many of us regard it as an outright gift with no strings attached. Well, that isn't quite so. All of us have received a heritage of liberty, a legacy of freedom forged in other days. Remember that the liberty you enjoy is a precious legacy, a legacy that can be lost through disuse. Don't ignore freedom. Work at it. For freedom is everybody's job. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This program has come to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It
is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Dick Powell, transcribed as Richard Diamond, private detective.
My name's Diamond, and like a lot of working people, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I get pretty anxious for 6 o'clock to roll around, especially if I haven't had a client for the last 3 days. But even if I don't expect anyone to drop in before 6, I can't take a chance, so I stare out of my office window on 53rd Street just to kill time. I see the night starting to muscle in on the Broadway bright lights, and I wonder just how many prospective clients are out in the city. Who's getting in trouble? What kind of trouble? And will they come to Richard Diamond for guidance? Now, take the two hard-looking thugs in a downtown hotel room as they watch a pretty blonde hurriedly get into a flashy mink coat. They're going to need plenty of guidance.
Where you going, Dottie?
I got an appointment.
Don't you think you ought to stick around just in case the contact comes in?
If it ain't here by now, it won't be until tomorrow. Now stop looking like a couple of anxious bloodhounds. Relax.
Sure, Dottie, sure. But you really cannot blame us for being a little disquieted.
Don't she look classy, Al? Hey, who you going to roll tonight, dollface?
Your grandmother. Or ain't she out of Alcatraz yet?
Hey, I don't like no cracks about my family.
Well, what are you going to do, Stan? People stop by the zoo every day.
Yeah. Now, please, no logomachy.
Yeah, no logomachy. Yeah. You keep running off at the mouth like that, baby, and you'll be spitting out all your teeth.
Yeah, well, when you kick off, Stan, don't try to sell your body to science. I'll never get both heads in that bottle.
Why, you... Please. I'm going to hit...
Please. Please. Leave us, Dottie. And Stanley, you shut your big mouth before I shove my foot in it. Go on, Dottie. I think you had better make a hurried percolation.
What?
Beat it.
Oh, Al, why didn't you let me mess her up a little? She's always acting like she's got a family background.
I do not know whether her family had anything to do with it, but it is a very nice background to gaze at. Now shut your ugly face and let us start tailing her.
Tailing her? What for?
I think she is up to something.
Yeah, well, sure she is, but I don't want to get booked as a peeping Tom.
Stan, you are a melonhead. I think she is going to try a cross. Florida has not never been late with the numbers before.
You think she's going to pick up the bundle and skip?
No. I just want to see what she does with her evenings.
Oh, well, I can tell you that.
Stanley, please. You arouse my irascibility.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aloysius.
Paper.
Evening, Glenda.
Oh, hello, Horace.
Times.
You look tired. Hard day at the office?
I stayed home. My wife's well.
Here's the Times.
Thanks. Good night, Glenda.
Good night. Papers. Evening papers.
Have you got a late edition?
Why, yes, right here, dearie. You got it?
Yeah, in the purse.
Put it down on the counter and look through the paper.
Okay.
Paper. Evening paper. What do you want me to do with the purse?
Keep it till I meet you at the train.
Sure, honey. It's good to be working again, ain't it, Dottie?
I gotta go. They usually got a tail on me. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Relax. We're in the chips. Paper! Evening paper! Paper, sir?
No, but I will take that purse.
Purse? Oh, why, that nice young lady must have left it on the counter when she looked at the paper.
Please, just extend your agent index and shove it over here.
Why, I can't do that. It belongs to that young lady.
Oh, look, it would make me very unhappy to have to shove all those nice old wrinkles around, but I am in need to possess one patent leather handbag. Now, if you will kindly move it to my approximate latitude, you old bat, we can dispense with all...
Why, you poor excuse for a lowbrow gun, if...
Madam.
For 2 cents, I'd wrap a lead sap across your flat head.
Well, hello, Glenda. Hello. How's business?
Oh, Officer Quine. Aren't you on a little late?
Yes, I've been changed to the 6 o'clock beat. Well, good evening, sir.
Yeah, lovely. Good evening, officer.
Say, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Hardly. I reside in Flatbush. Well, thank you, Mother. I do not see anything I want. Goodbye.
He doesn't see anything he wants. What does he think you're running, Glenda? A drugstore there?
Hey, Al, I saw a cop.
I am proud of you, Stanley.
Huh?
Now let us hurry around this corner.
What, you think Dot and the old dame are cooking up something together?
Stop here so we can watch the old dame. Stanley, to put it in your words, yeah, I think they are cooking up something.
Oh, you figure she slipped the old girl the numbers?
Your perception astounds even my astute. Hey, observe.
Oh, yeah. Your grandma is taking off and leaving the cop behind to watch the papers.
Yeah, she's going in that building. She has got the purse. Stanley, stay here and await my return.
Okay, but my feet are beginning to hurt.
Go in a drugstore, purchase some Blue Jays. I shall be right back with the purse.
Mr. Diamond.
Well, hello, Glenda. Come in, pull up a rocking chair. Well, that's the way it begins. Sometimes when you wait around until the last minute, you get a customer. I wasn't too happy about this one because I knew she didn't have enough money to hire a tramp to spot cigarette butts.
I haven't got much time. I've got Officer Quine watching my paper stand.
Officer Quine? You should be happy you aren't selling fruit. He's already got his thumbprint and every apple in Yonkers.
Mr. Diamond, I found this purse.
Found it, Glenda?
Oh, you know me, Mr. Diamond. I'm going straight now.
I remember a snake that said that once. He broke his back.
Honest, I haven't been doing that kind of business since I got out.
Well, what can I do for you, Glenda? I'm broke.
Oh, it's not a touch. I want you to find the owner of this purse and return it.
Why don't you give it to Officer Quine?
Well, there's no money in it. And with my record, he'd sure run me in for purse snatching.
No money, huh?
Oh, no. No, I didn't touch a thing. Just took a peek, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
A young girl left it on my counter. If you find her, you can ask her. I didn't touch a thing.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Diamond. Goodbye.
Keep your nose clean.
Oh, I will.
She'd keep her nose clean, all right, in a glass of gin. I'd known old Glenda ever since she started working bunco rackets and got put away for 2 to 5. I was sure she'd lifted the dough from the purse, but I opened it and went through it anyway. I was just kicking myself for telling her I'd try to dig up its owner when the door opened and an ugly-looking mug wearing alligator spats walked up to my desk.
You should be ashamed, looking at someone else's purse.
It's a bad habit, like not knocking on doors.
Oh, it said on the door to come in.
How long did you have to wait before someone came by to read it to you?
May I please have the purse?
Oh, is it yours?
Yes.
Well, I didn't notice the wedges. Give up high heels?
You are a very poor comic. Now, may I have the purse, or must I make you bleed?
Oh, it's like that. Well, sure, here it is.
Thank you.
And something to go with it. I caught him with one that made my arm feel good clear up to my shoulder. His eyes rolled back, and he went down faster than the celluloid collar on the flagpole. I looked at the black purse and started getting that lousy feeling again. I'd gotten into something, and it was beginning to smell already. So I called the 5th Precinct Police Station and an old friend, Lieutenant Levinson.
Homicide, Sergeant Otis.
Hello, Otis. Let me talk to the lieutenant.
Is this Diamond?
No, it's platoon number 3 of the Brownies, 300 strong. Now let me talk to the lieutenant.
Hey, what are you going to do with all those tired jokes when you run out?
Give them away to idiots. You want to start a collection?
Lieutenant Levinson.
Hello, Walt. Diamond.
Oh, wait a minute. Otis. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Where'd you put the bicarbonate?
In the top drawer, Lieutenant.
Oh, hold it a minute, Rick. Get me some water, Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Go ahead, Rick. I can stand it for a second.
Well, if you didn't get so excited, you wouldn't have to take that stuff.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Never need this stuff until you call. Now, who's dead?
Nobody, but there's a guy in my office lying on the floor.
He's dead. He's got to be.
No, he isn't, Walt. I just belted him in the mouth when he tried to get rough.
Oh.
Wait a minute. He's trying to wake up. Groan for the nice policeman.
Oh.
You hear him, Walt?
Okay, so some guy got tired and went to sleep on your floor. What do you want me for?
Hold it a second, Walt. He's getting a little too active.
What did you do?
I kissed him goodnight.
What did you do that for?
Well, I've seen him somewhere. I think he's wanted.
Oh, well, hang on to him. I'll send the wagon down.
The door will be open. I'll fix it so he doesn't get away.
Wait a minute, Rick. Where are you going?
Well, about 5 minutes ago, an old dame hands me a black patent leather purse and asks me to find the owner. Right afterwards, this cultured gorilla wanders in and says the purse belongs to him.
Oh, what's in it?
Nothing much. A compact, book of matches, and a handkerchief. Mmm, smells nice.
No money?
No. Oh, I gotta stop by Helen Ashes for a minute, and then I'm gonna find out what makes this purse so valuable.
Say hello to Helen for me.
Sure thing. Bye, Walt.
Be a good boy. Goodbye.
I got a rope out of my desk that I hung my socks on when I had time to wash them and tied the sleeping Goniff to a chair. I didn't know much about pocketbooks, but I knew someone who did, so I headed for 975 Park Avenue and a beautiful redhead named Helen Asher.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Diamond.
Good evening, Francis. Is Miss Asher in?
Yes, sir. She's in the study. Shall I announce you?
No, just dig up something that'll get me back on my feet. I'll let myself in.
Yes, sir. Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Francis?
If you'll pardon me for saying so, sir, I just love the way you talk.
Well, thank you, Francis. Eaton, 98. Majored in Sloyd.
Oh, my goodness, you're pulling my leg again.
Anyone home?
Rick, you got here.
Hi.
Hi. Well, since when did you start carrying a purse?
Like it? Matches my complexion.
Oh, you idiot.
Take a look.
Whose is it?
Gotta find out. It's worth something. One guy already tried to get it the hard way. Cigarette?
Well, thanks. It's got some initials on it. D.K. There's nothing valuable in it.
I know. That's what I can't understand. Got a match?
Here's some in the purse.
Thanks. Here. Adams Hotel. Flophouse with sheets.
Compact's never been used. My darling.
Well, thanks.
Oh, the perfume and the handkerchief, silly. It's my darling.
Oh.
Oh, don't look so hurt. So are you.
Well, come here.
Rick.
Here's your drink, Mr. Dam. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's all right, Francis. I was just trying to convince your boss we should take in the wrestling matches.
Why, Francis, you're blushing.
Oh, pardon me. Miss Asher's residence. Yes, sir. One moment, sir. It's for you, Mr. Dam.
Oh, thank you, Francis.
I'll see if the dinner is ready, Miss Helen.
Hello?
You get right down here.
What?
Lieutenant Levinson. Get down here to the station, Diamond. You're in trouble.
Diamond? Wait a minute. Slow down.
Not dead, huh? My stomach starts getting back to normal, and you have to knock some guy off.
Knock some guy off?
I don't know why I should waste time with explanations. I ought to just send Otis over there with the wagon, but I like your girlfriend too much.
What are you babbling about?
I thought you said the guy in your office was still kicking.
What?
Yeah, somebody made a punchboard out of his chest, and I like you for a suspect. Now get down here.
Wait a minute, Walt. Somebody shot him?
Yeah. If that wasn't what killed him, he died of fright when he saw the bullets coming. Now, I'm not talking anymore till you get here. Make it 10 minutes, or I'll have a warrant out for you.
Oh, swell.
Rick, what's the matter?
Oh, that crazy Walt Levinson's got me in line for a murder rap. I gotta go down and square myself.
Murder? Rick?
Yeah. I'll see you later, baby.
But, Rick...
I can't wait. I'll get back as soon as I can.
If we were married, this wouldn't happen. Rick, you forgot the purse. Francis? Francis!
Yes, Miss Asher?
Francis, Mr. Diamond forgot this purse. See if you can catch him. He's gone to Lieutenant Levinson's police station.
Yes, Miss, I'll do my best.
Rick just has got to stop this foolishness. Oh. How did you get in here? Who are you?
I come in a back way, lady. Where's the shamus?
You get out of here.
No, just relax, baby. One yell out of you and you get hurt pretty bad.
What?
Where's the shamus?
He went down to the police station.
Okay. Where's the purse? I saw him bring it in.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, baby. Or do I shake it out of
you? You stay away from me. You... Hood.
Hood? Where's the purse?
I told you, I don't know. No, stay away.
Okay, but you're making it tough on yourself.
Stay away. You stay away from me.
Tucked underneath her arm, she walks the bloody tower with a red tucked underneath her arm at the midnight hour.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes, madam.
I believe you have my purse.
I beg your pardon, but this purse is the property of Mr. Diamond, private detective.
Yes, I know. I gave it to him to hold for me.
Well, I'm very sorry, madam, but you'll have to claim it from Mr. Diamond himself.
Oh, yeah? Help! Police!
Oh, madam.
Masher!
Madam!
Help! This man is trying to steal my purse.
Madam, let go of my coat.
This guy giving you trouble, mother?
He's trying to steal my purse. Help!
Oh, yes, huh? Looks just the type. This'll learn you, Romeo.
Oh, my.
You're gonna know, lady, will you? Come on, get up and fight. Hey, lady! Lady! How do you like that? Didn't even say thanks.
Now, look, Rick, I don't care what you say. You told me you had a guy in your office. When my men got there, they found him tied in a chair with three bullet holes in his chest.
He was making noises when I left.
Some guys do that when they get shot.
Oh, stop being an idiot. You know I didn't kill him.
Yeah, I know it, but what do I tell the commissioner? That I let you go because you're a friend of mine, used to be on the force?
No, but you don't have to act like I rubbed out the whole West Side.
Well, I'm mad. I want to retire in 5 years, and I want to do it with a healthy stomach. Yeah?
Lieutenant, Murphy's got some guy out here he picked up for purse snatching. Says he's a friend of Diamond's and wants to see him.
Send him in. This can't get any screwier than it is already. I got a purse snatcher who says he knows you.
Purse snatcher? Francis.
Yes, Mr. Diamond. I don't feel so well.
That's all, Otis. Isn't he your girlfriend's butler?
Yeah. What happened, Francis?
Well, sir, I was bringing that purse down to you.
That's right. I left it at Helen's.
Yes, sir. Well, a little old lady approached me on the street and claimed it belonged to her.
What did she look like?
She had white hair, and she was wearing an old shawl. I think she'd been drinking gin, sir. Cheap gin.
Glenda.
Glenda Bergen? Is she the one who gave you the purse?
Yeah. Then what happened, Francis?
When I wouldn't give her the purse, she started yelling and called me a masher. And some enormous gentleman arrived and clouted me in the jaw. It was disgusting, sir.
And the old lady got the purse?
Yes, sir. She ran off, and the enormous gentleman sat on my chest until an officer came and carted me off to this place.
Was Miss Helen all right when you left her?
Why, yes, sir. You don't think...
I don't know. But if they knew I had the purse and spotted me going into Helen's...
Here, Rick, use his phone.
Thanks. Don't you see, Walt, this whole thing has something to do with that purse.
Purse, schmurse. I've still got a stiff on my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes?
Hello, honey. You all right?
Oh.
What's the matter?
Hi. Please come home.
What happened?
A man broke into the house looking for that old purse. I told him I didn't know where it was, and he started slapping me.
He did, huh?
Yes, and I need comforting.
Well, honey, I've still got something to do. Lock all the doors until Francis gets back, and I'll be over as soon as I can.
All right. Did you get the purse?
Francis will tell you all about it. Bye, baby.
Bye.
Rick.
Some louse shoved Helen around. Francis, get over there and take care of her. It's all right if he goes, isn't it, Walt?
I guess so. Otis, I'm releasing the guy that was picked up for purse snatching. And don't say, yeah, Lieutenant. Okay, Rick.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Step on it, Francis. Miss Asher needs someone to take care of her.
Yes, sir.
Walt, give me 2 hours to find out what this is all about.
Are you going after Glenda?
Yeah.
If she's tied up with this killing, I'd better send some of the boys along.
Give me 2 hours alone. I want to find the guy who shoved Helen around.
Okay, Rick. 2 hours and I put in a general alarm for you and the old dame. You know where she lives?
I got a shack over near the East River. Thanks, Walt.
Otis, let Diamond go and bring me a tablespoon and some water. And Otis, shut up.
I grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing at the edge of the East River. The fog was rolling in, and pretty soon, it'd be so thick you could put it in bales. Below me, next to the water, was a line of weather-beaten shacks, and one of them belonged to old Glenda.
You want something, Mac?
Huh? Oh. Oh, I didn't see you. Does old Glenda live in one of those shacks?
Yeah, that one. Got a match?
Oh, yeah. Here, keep them.
Thanks.
Forget it. No, wait a minute.
Huh?
Let me see those matches. I've forgotten all about them.
What's the matter? You collect them or something?
These I do. Sorry, pal, you'll have to get some others.
Okay, sporty.
The inside of the shack looked like a hardware store after a good earthquake. Someone had torn it to pieces, and old Glenda had gotten the same treatment. She was lying on the wooden floor staring up at me. She couldn't close her eyes because a rope around her neck was squeezing them open.
Is she dead?
Huh?
I followed you down.
Well, hooray for you. The next time you sneak up on somebody, you're liable to end up with a skull fracture.
Just wanted to see what was going on. Is she dead?
Unless she can breathe through her feet, she's been strangled.
Gonna call the cops?
No. I thought I'd rub her wrists for a while. Now, here's a buck. Call Lieutenant Levinson at the 5th Precinct and tell him what's happened.
Sure. Got a nickel?
Yeah, here. And tell him I've gone over to the Adams Hotel on 28th Street. My name's Diamond.
Good for you.
Now step on it. He left in a hurry, and I reached in my pocket and took another look at the book of matches I'd gotten from the black handbag. They were from the Adams Hotel on 28th Street, so I went over there fast. The sleepy night clerk showed me the register, and I found what I was looking for. I remembered the initials on the handbag were DK. A Dorothy King was registered in room 306. I went upstairs.
Yeah?
I got a message for you.
Slip it under the door.
I'm not that skinny.
What is it?
It's from Glenda.
Right, now shut it and come on in.
Huh? Oh, what a lovely gun.
Glad you like it. What do you want?
I just left Glenda. She's dead.
What?
Yeah, strangled.
How'd you find me?
Matches in your purse. They were from this hotel. I checked the initials on the bag with the register. DK, Dorothy King, room 306. Holmes would call it elementary.
You must be the shamus Glenda gave the bag to earlier this evening.
That's right. How did you know?
Well, she called me.
She tell you she got it back?
I feel a quiet streak coming on.
I usually like women who don't talk much, but right now you'd better start talking as fast as you can.
Funny thing, this gun I got makes me lazy. Now get out of here.
Baby, I got a big fat surprise for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. My gun makes bigger holes than yours.
Huh?
What do you think I'm doing with my right hand, keeping it warm?
Oh, don't give me that. You ain't got nothing but a big finger in that pocket. Oh!
Surprise. Next time I make it count.
Wait a minute.
Sure. Drop it. Now that's better. Kick it over here.
All right. Please, I didn't kill Glenda.
Where's the purse?
I ain't got it, honest.
Well, who has? Now look, baby, I'm in a bad mood.
Honest, I don't know.
That's right. She don't, mister.
Stan.
Well, you certainly know some pretty ugly company, Dottie.
I don't know if I like that.
You don't? Maybe I can word it a little different.
Stan, he's a private cop. He come up here and tried to shove me around.
Well, you should have done it, Shamus. It would have saved me the trouble.
What do you mean, huh?
Why, you no good cheap double-crosser. Al and me saw you slip the bag to that old dame, and Al got killed trying to get it from the Shamus.
I didn't kill Al.
Nah, the old dame did it. I went up to the office and found him dying. He told me she'd done it.
What are you going to do?
Well, the organization don't like being crossed. I got the purse from the old dame and paid her off for killing poor old Al. Now I gotta pay you off.
I got a surprise for you, too, Stanley.
Yeah. You try anything, you'll have more holes in you than a fishnet. He's got a gun in his pocket. Well, look at his pocket, wise guy.
Oh, gee, I wish Al was here. He'd know what to do.
Go on, shoot him. Shoot him. Stan's got it coming.
Looks like it's a tie. No sense in both of us getting killed.
Yeah. You plug me, and I'll nail you before I go down.
Don't listen to him.
I think he's got a point.
What are you gonna do?
That's up to him.
Well, as Al would say, a hurried departure is in order. I'll take care of you later, Doc.
Huh?
Goodbye, all. It's pretty good. Al would like that.
Don't let him get away. Stop him.
You stop him. All right, baby. Where is he going with that purse?
If I tell you, will you give me a chance to get out of town?
I can't do anything about that. When I leave, you're on your own. Technically, you haven't done anything the law could hold you for.
I haven't?
No. But that won't stop me from pushing you around. Now, let's have the story.
Well, If Stan hasn't been there already, he's headed for a locker in the subway station at 34th Street.
What's in the locker?
$100,000 in counterfeit bills. Oh,
baby. Counterfeit. You have been naughty. Now, Papa, we'll have to keep you on ice for the cops. Get in the closet.
Please, give me a break.
Sorry, honey. Get in.
Ouch, you're hurting me.
I went down to the night clerk and told him to tell Lieutenant Levinson when he got there about the blonde in the closet of room 306. The subway wasn't far, but Stanley had a head start and he was in a hurry. I ran the rest of the way. I went down the steps. A train was just pulling out when I spotted him. He'd just taken a bundle out of one of the lockers, and as he turned to go, I walked up behind him. Hello, Stanley.
What?
What you got in the box?
The Shamus. Here, you take it.
Oh! He tossed the package in my face and started running for the exit. But a crowd of people blocked his way, and when he saw me come up with my gun, he changed his mind. He turned and vaulted the turnstile, and I ducked behind the row of lockers. He had a gun, too. I tried to get a clear shot at him, but there were too many people. And then the frightened little guy did a stupid thing. He jumped down on the tracks and started running up the tunnel.
Oh, look at that fool man. He's jumped down on the tracks.
Stanley, come back here. You can't get anywhere that way.
You said it, Mac. He's running uptown on the downtown side.
Here's a corny line. Stop or I'll shoot.
You won't get me.
Stan, look out. There's a train coming. Look out.
No!
Oh, Mr. Diamond, come in.
Hello, Francis. Is Miss Asher all right?
She's better, sir. She's lying down in the study.
How's the jaw?
Oh, I feel better, sir. This ice bag is helping the swelling. I'll be in the pantry if you need me, sir.
I'll try not to. Hi.
Hi.
Well, poor little baby.
Yes. Poor little baby.
You're lucky he didn't knock you out. Oh, I'll get it. Francis is nursing his face.
Asher residence?
Let me talk to Diamond if he's there.
He is.
Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you listen to me. I've been chasing your conquests all over town. I end up down in the subway station. I notice get stuck in the turnstile. Don't you think it'd be nice to let the police department in on something once in a while?
Oh, sure. Right now, I'm at 975 Park Avenue, nursing a beautiful redhead back to health. Oh, did you find the blonde in the closet?
Yeah, I got the whole story from her. You want to hear it?
I guessed most of it. She was fencing for a counterfeit ring and she tried to cross them. The key to the locker was in that purse.
Yeah, in the compact, under the pancake makeup. She and old Glenda used to do a duet together before they both got sent up. When the blonde got out, she started working for a counterfeit mob. They'd stashed the dough in different subway lockers around town and used her to make the contacts.
So she figured she could use the $100,000. Well, nothing like being in business for yourself.
She was afraid to pick it up herself, so
Ricky.
She slipped the purse to Glenda like she'd just forgotten it.
Ricky.
Yes, dear?
Are you listening to me?
I just stopped. Bye, Walt.
What? Now, wait a minute.
What is it, baby?
I want some sympathy.
Sure. What would you like, lover?
Sing something.
Oh, come on, baby. We can do without that.
No, I want you to. I'm sick. An invalid should be pampered.
Let me rub your head or something.
Afterwards. I want you to sing.
Oh, but it's late, baby.
Well, then sing softly. Sing me to sleep.
Oh, honey.
I'll get mad and you'll have to buy me a present.
Okay. Lullaby and good night with roses bedight.
That's wonderful.
With lilies bedight.
Hey, you at the board in your consoles! Shut up! I'm trying to sleep!
Well, what is that?
Oh, it's that grouchy new neighbor.
Oh, it is, huh? Mm-hmm. Hey, you want something, bud?
Yeah, shut your big bezel.
Oh, is that right? Powder your face away the sunshine.
Oh, no!
Put on a great big smile. Make up your eyes
Rick,
with
too
laughter.
Loud. Please, all... Rick.
Yeah, okay. That guy gets shell-shocked if he fried potatoes.
Rick.
What is it, baby?
Come here.
Oh. You do need pampering.
Thank you.
have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Betty Lou Gerson, Jane Morgan, Jack Crucian, Hi Averback, Herb Butterfield, and Wally Mayer. Music was under the direction of David Baskerville. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by William P. Rousseau. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This program has come to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.